If you got your Bibles this evening, would you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter and the 38th verse? I'm going to read from verse 38 to 42. I'm using the New King James Version tonight. I'm going to be just a few minutes with you. Let me tell you about my trip a little bit, about Pastor Pirelli and Trinidad. And I know specifically. This is Dr. Pirelli's program for his funeral. I had gone to the funeral of Dr. Pirelli, which was just one of the saddest days of my life. I hope I never have to go through something like that again. I stood there shivering, missing Dr. Pirelli. I couldn't even believe that he was dead and that we were going to bury him. It was horrific for me. I wept. I can't even imagine how Carol and the family feels if I wept so much and I was so moved by Dr. Pirelli. Dr. Pirelli was a great man of God. He was a son of Trinidad. Trinidad could not have had a better son. I believe that Dr. Pirelli impacted the entirety of Trinidad. He made such an impact with education. As you know, Dr. Pirelli was the founder of one of the largest Caribbean business school, bigger than the University of the Caribbean, SAM. And Dr. Pirelli trained, if not thousands of individuals, leading them on to a better life and giving them an education that would both empower them, the nation, and of course, create great wealth in the country. Dr. Pirelli, man, I tell you, after I came from the funeral and I heard all the reports of Dr. Pirelli, I was then even more eager to get one of his books to read his mind. And so in my possession is Dr. Pirelli's book, and I promise I'll reveal the nuggets when I discover them. But he was definitely a great example of a man of faith. And he was a great example of a man that was greatly prosperous. He was prosperous. And everything, and let me say this with no hesitancy, everything Dr. Pirelli taught you, pardon me, about finances, and you have done it, it was true. It was absolutely true. I saw it with my own eyes. I was privy to have been there for the reading of Dr. Pirelli's will. The family invited me to come to be a witness to the will. And I want to tell you, Dr. Pirelli was a man blessed and highly favored in Trinidad. And he had so much that he did for the Lord with his wealth. And he did many, many more things for the nation of Trinidad. There's a few brochures here, maybe five or so. If you're interested, they're going to be in the front here. You can grab them on your way out. But if you're interested in having one, you're sure welcome to have it. Amen? Amen. If you got your Bibles, did you find it? Luke's Gospel? And let's get to it. It shouldn't be too long. And then we're going to pray. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. As she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary had chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." And everybody said, "Amen." Amen. I've discovered that you seldom see what you're not looking for. Write it down. You seldom see what you're not looking for. I believe that if somebody is intentional about finding something, they will find it. God doesn't withhold anything good from us. God loves us and he wants the best for our lives. And so I believe that in that home that day, there was one person that was looking for Jesus and the other was not. Let's just be simple about the text. There could be people here tonight who intentionally want to know God better, and there could be people here who just, you're showing up to a religious activity. It's just church. Did you hear what I said? Martha was so busy, she couldn't recognize the presence of God that was in that room. She was so occupied with serving and trying to make sandwiches. She was distracted by the fact that she wanted to please the Lord instead of realizing that God didn't want to be pleased. He wanted her. Oh, boy. I found that distraction is the enemy of direction. Write it down. Distraction is the enemy of direction. If you have a purpose, if you have a path, if you have some goal in life that you want to accomplish and you get distracted, that distraction will pull you away. Maybe you might be distracted with Netflix. I'm not talking to anybody here tonight. But when you begin to entertain your distraction, it will cause you to be misdirected. And when you're distracted, you lose sight of the important things in life. Hello, somebody. Not everything that demands our attention is worth our attention. Hello, somebody. I said, not everybody, let me make it personal, not everybody that demands my attention is worth my attention. You got to be careful how you're living this life. There's a lot of people that will jockey for your attention. And that's a trick of the enemy. The enemy wants you to be distracted so you don't fulfill your goals. You see those girls in those tight mini skirts, shrink wrap. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's a distraction from your wife. You've seen those girls? That's a distraction. You know what I say? It's okay to look once to get direction. The next look is trouble. Amen? Not everything demands your attention. You got to learn to stick to your goal. You got to learn to stick to what you desire in life and don't get distracted by things that may look pleasing or things that may be temporarily overindulging or pleasurable. You got to stick. Sometimes, you know, the enemy is so wicked. He brings a Delilah in front of you so you can miss your mission. You got to be careful. Not everything that is good is for you. Some things that are good, they come as a distraction. This is one of the greatest battles in the pulpit. Staying focused. Staying focused when there is a storm and nobody comes to church because everybody forgot to get snow tires. I'm just saying. This wasn't the time for sandwich. Do you understand? I said this wasn't the time for sandwiches. This Jesus was in the house. Now's not the time, Linda, to make curry. Hallelujah. You got to understand how to read the room. Turn to somebody and tell them. You got to learn how to read the room. Talk to me, somebody. You got to learn how to read the room. You got to know the important people in the room. You got to know the important things in the room. Don't go making sandwiches when Jesus is in the room. Hello, somebody. Sometimes we get distracted by the kids, but it's not the kids, man. There's somebody important in the room that God wants to connect you with. But if you get distracted by those kids, those kids will make you lose out on what God has prepared for you. Put the kids to bed. Calm down. Oh my God, what's happening in this house tonight? You got to learn how to read the room. Now, not everything you should pay attention to. Not everybody that's loud is important. Yeah. Hello, somebody. Not everybody that shouts amen is important. I promise I didn't pay him. I did not pay him to do that. How often do we miss the moment because we're caught up with the wrong things at the wrong time? Talk to me, somebody. How often do you miss that opportunity when God is moving and then you hear later, oh man, Pastor, oh man, you guys should have seen God do what he did at church this weekend. He said, oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. I was over by at that barbecue. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? We miss sometimes, we miss when God is doing great things because we're distracted with our desires. This child, she's there in the kitchen making sandwiches while the glory of God is in that house. And that doesn't happen to all of us at church. I'm not talking about anybody here. We're so distracted by sleep. We're distracted by family. We're distracted by money. We're distracted by... But the most important thing is not those things. The most important thing is Jesus. But we miss it. And then we wonder, why am I not progressing? Why am I not getting blessed? How come they're getting healed and I'm not getting healed? Well, they were there to capture the moment. Mary was there to capture the moment. Jesus walked in that house and Mary said, nah, it's not about sandwiches. Martha's complaining. Mary should have helped me make sandwiches. And Mary in her head, she's stupid. Jesus, you're in the house. I'm going to be making sandwiches, you crazy. All you got to do is look at that thing and it'll multiply. But Martha didn't get it. Martha missed it. Martha, she wasn't doing anything sinful, of course. She was serving. She was working. She was preparing. But she was so consumed with what seemed urgent that she missed the most important thing, the presence of God. Can I say that again? Maybe you missed it. We are so consumed with what seems urgent, that we forget that in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. You know, sometimes I hear people say, I'm sick, I'm really sick. Well, I think that's the time you need to be in the presence of God. I don't know about you, but you say, well, Pastor, if I come, I'll infect everybody. You leave that to God. Oh, don't come to church. Don't come. You stay home. You stay home. But do you not know that God is moving in the church? You think your health is important? What's important is you learning how to engage the presence of God to allow God to do things for you instead of staying home whining about you're going to die. And for you West Indians, I'm going dead. I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there. Timing matters, friend. There's a time to work and a time to worship. There's a time to serve and a time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Do you know your timing? Do you understand timing in this generation? When the house of the Lord is open, that's the time to be in the house of the Lord. That's not the time to sit at a barbecue. That's not the time to be in the kitchen making sandwiches. You got your priorities mixed up, friend. When Jesus was in the room, everything else could wait. I don't think we're there yet as a church. I don't think the people of God are there yet. When Jesus is present and Jesus is moving and it's a day of worship, everything else can wait. It's your time, Lord. You gave me 7 days and all you're asking for is one. It's your time, Jesus. We got our priorities mixed up, man. How many times have we missed the divine moments because we're distracted with things that we could put away for another day. How many times have we missed out on what God is doing because we thought what we had to do was important, but really we could have tabled that for another time. You don't always have to go see your mother when church is open. You don't always have to buy pizza sandwich when church is open. I'm talking to Sanj, of course. I love Sanj. So do you. Why is it that you have to full gas when you should be at church? And you're always late for church. I'm talking to you, okay? Oh, it's your wife, I see. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? There are many times we miss those divine moments because we're distracted by things we could have put away for another day. I think sometimes we forget that when God moves, that when God's presence show up, that it may not be that way next week. And we've got one chance to kind of engage it and engage his presence. And I think that's what was happening in the house here of Mary and Martha. They had a chance, and Mary recognized the timing that Jesus is going to come to my house this one time before he goes to the cross. And she captured that moment while somebody else was in the kitchen making sandwiches. Sometimes we let schedules and responsibility and even good things steal from the moment that God himself set apart for us. We run around like Martha when Jesus is simply asking, come sit with me, listen, and receive from my presence. It's kind of like the worship leader who focuses on leading other people into the presence of God and forget themselves to enter the presence of God. I can talk about ministry tonight. I can talk about how we are so caught up with studying the word to preach and we forget to study the word to love. We're so caught up with the works mentality. We're so caught up with doing, doing, doing that you don't realize that God doesn't want you to do. God wants you to be. It's not always about doing things for God. It's not always about going out there and changing the world. It's simply sitting in his presence because he is God and you love him and you need to spend time with him. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it works. We can be so busy working for God that we forget to enjoy him. Like Martha, many are busy doing good but fail to recognize what is really important in the room. Sometimes we get so focused on life, friends, that we neglect the opportunity to be in the presence of God. My point is this. What the story really represents is the idea that presence is more important than good works. Write it down. Everybody say, presence is more important than my good works. Okay, good. We're going to unpack that tonight. Busyness is a distraction, but it wasn't the real problem in the story. The real problem with Martha was that she didn't recognize the presence of Jesus in the room. Let me say it again. The real problem with Martha is that she did not recognize the presence of Jesus in the room. This has been a big problem for the church. We tend to prioritize what we deem to be important or consider important. You know, sometimes we naturally give our time and our energy and our effort to focus on things that we think is important. That's just human nature. I think this is important, so I'm going to invest my time. I think work is important, so I'm gonna pay more attention to work. Martha felt making sandwiches was more important than the presence of Jesus, and I'm not sure if I'm talking to anybody here, but maybe you're here tonight and you have found that this is more important and that is more important than Jesus, not realizing that Jesus is actually more important than all the things you have in your life. Everybody said Jesus is more important. I know that sentiment is not felt by everybody, but when it does and it is felt by everybody, we're going to have revival in this city. Are you hearing me? When we start prioritizing Jesus, we're going to have revival. But until then, we have people complaining. Our priorities reveal where what we value most. Write it down. It's important. If you value video games most, your priorities will be towards video games. I'm not saying he values video games. I'm just using it. What you value most, you prioritize. It's that simple. If you value school most, you'll prioritize that. If you value the presence of God most, you'll prioritize that. Don't be fooled. Your life works by priorities. Not your neighbor. And says, my life works by priorities. It actually does. What you value is what you prioritize. Talk to me, somebody. My kids love shoes. Guess what they prioritize? They don't prioritize giving to the Lord. They prioritize giving to themselves. You should see shoes in my house. And it's their coach, Emmanuel, that's done this thing. They come over and say, Dad, did you see? Coach has a new shoes today. I'm like, what? So they want shoes. It's you, Pastor Emmanuel. I'm not sure what your sandwiches are today. I'm not sure where you prioritize. But Martha's sandwich was working for God. And you say, well, Pastor, what's wrong with working for God? Isn't works important? Isn't prayer important? I want to tell you that prayer is not more important than presence. I want to tell you that fasting is not more important than presence. I want to tell you nothing you do in this church is more important than spending time with God. Nothing. Nothing. We get so confused sometimes that we think God is looking for our works. The text doesn't say that. He was more pleased with Mary who sat at his feet than Martha that worked for him. Martha missed the point. She missed what Jesus is all about. And I think we've taught this wrong. She was so caught up with doing rather than believing, performing rather than resting. But Jesus wasn't looking for her effort. He was looking for her heart. Hello, somebody. Do you know it's not the people that preach the loudest or are active more in the church, the ones that you see praying the most and the one that's fasting the most and the one that really help, the ushers. These are all wonderful things to do, but that's not what God is interested in. God is interested in you. He's interested in you spending time with him, not working for him. Martha, indeed, found the better part. A lot of people believe that in order to get into the presence of God, they have to work harder. I'm going to fix that tonight. People, do you know that? People believe, well, if I'm going to see the presence of God move, I gotta dig my heels in and get on my face and cry out to God. That's not the gospel of grace. That's the gospel of works. That's Martha. She was trying to make sandwiches to impress Jesus. Hello, somebody. Performance and striving and doing all these things to impress Jesus. These things doesn't impress Jesus. I'm sorry. That's old-time religion to me. Because Jesus frowned on Martha. He frowned on her. He said, woman, what are you doing? Mary is better off sitting at my feet instead of you trying to work to impress me. Mary chose to rest rather than work. Sounds like she understood grace. Everybody says she understood grace. Martha was trying to impress him with sandwiches while Mary was just loving on him. Can I help you this evening if you're visiting? You don't have to impress God. You can't. There's nothing you can do that can impress God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm going to spend 40 days and 40 nights fasting for the Lord. Please don't waste your time. God's not impressed with your fasting. I'm so sorry. Pastor, I'm going to come to church every week. I'm glad that you do, but that won't impress me nor God. You might be thinking, well, I've missed church and I'm not very impressive. That's not true. God's not looking for your performance. God is not, I'm not saying continue to miss church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you think that's what impresses God, you've got the wrong gospel. The gospel is not about coming to church. The gospel is not about working for Jesus. The gospel is about resting in what he has already done for you. Everybody write it down. The gospel is about resting in Jesus. It's about carrying the confidence that he will never leave me nor forsake me. It doesn't matter if you're in church or you're in Jamaica. Take me with you when you're going. I get it. I used to preach to you performance, and I apologize, but I want to tell you, that's not the gospel. That's not what Jesus is saying. One of the greatest concerns I have with prayer and other religious practices is that we can pray past the miracle. Write it down. Pray past the miracle. Pastor, what nonsense are you talking about? Pray past the miracle? Yes, you can pray past the miracle. You can run past the finish line. Oh boy, watch me here tonight. I'm going to teach you something about grace. You can pray past the miracle. I thought we should pray without cease. Which one of you can do that? I'll call you Jesus. You say, Pastor, what does it mean to pray past the miracle? It means you are so focused on the praying itself that you actually miss the miracle. You know, people get excited about prayer meetings. Let me go over here, this religious group. You know, people get excited about prayer meetings. And when they get excited about prayer meetings, they're praying so much that they pray past the miracle. Let me talk to you about it. Watch this. It's a true story. It's in the Bible. In the book of Acts. Let me show you. Acts chapter 12. So Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter, he is caught up in prison. They arrested him. He's in jail. And so the church decided that they were going to have a prayer meeting. Everybody said, the church is having a prayer meeting. Yeah, they're so excited. Oh, man, we had an all-night prayer meeting. So we fasted and we prayed for Peter. And they're praying all night. Watch this. But when the answer came, they struggled with the answer. The Bible says, if you check it out, verse 15, it says that Peter came out, he was released from prison, and he stood knocking at the door, and then Rhoda runs back in, and she tells the praying saints, look, God has answered your prayer, and they want to keep praying. They want to keep praying. It's right there in your text. Everybody say, God has answered your prayer. You got to stop praying. Hey, well, don't say amen yet. Hold on. They had prayed, but they weren't prepared for the miracle. But they said to her, you are beside yourself, silly child. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. And they said, nah, it's an angel. It's not really Peter. Because they wanted to do what? They wanted to keep praying. And that has happened to a lot of because you don't understand. You want to keep making sandwiches. And Jesus says, now rest in the finished work. Rest in the finished work. Don't keep doing. Don't you know I've done it all for you? Watch this. Everybody say, praying past the miracle. I know you. This is a real thing in the gospel. Praying past the miracle. What? Isn't that supposed to be the purpose of prayer so we can receive? But these guys, they heard. Peter was standing in front. Rhoda comes. Peter is at the door. Peter is at the door. No, leave us alone. We're praying. Roboshaka, ba, 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 ba. That's religion. That's religion. Praying past the miracle. Religious people do that all the time. They pray, and they don't realize that Jesus has already finished it. Everybody said Jesus has already finished it. Do you know that a lot of your prayers are a waste of time? Let me insult your kidneys. A lot of your prayers are stupidity. Let me upset your brain. A lot of the stuff you're praying for, God has already answered. On the cross 2,000 years ago, he's already provided everything that pertained to life and godliness. And here you are, oh God, heal me. God said, I already did that 2,000 years ago. And now you're praying past your miracle. What you should be doing, you should be stopping and believing. Stop and rest at his feet, saying, Lord, I know you know what's best for me, and you're going to give it to me without fail. Watch this. Watch this. Don't we do that? Don't we do that? We cry out to God for breakthroughs that he's already provided. We cry out to God for miracles that he already provided. We cry out to God for finances that he already provided. We cry out to God for deliverance and healing that he already provided. Can I tell you what Jesus is looking for in this generation? He's not looking for more prayer people. He's looking for people of the presence. People who know his presence. I know people can pray, but you ain't seen nothing happen. I know you can pray. If you think prayer and God answers prayer, I want to let you know God does not answer prayers. Write it down. Pastor Asif says that. God does not answer prayers. God answers faith. If you pray and you don't have faith, you ain't getting nothing. You can pray till the cows come home. God answers faith, not prayers. That's why your prayers are not being answered. It doesn't have faith. You're better off just using your faith than praying. I'll show you that in a minute. Hold on. Jesus is not looking to see if you know how to pray, folks. He's looking to see if you understand that he doesn't need sandwiches. I'm telling you, Jesus doesn't need more people that perform for him. He doesn't need more clowns that join the circus called church. I'm telling you something tonight. You got to hear me. You can divorce me after the message. Jesus is not looking for your religious work. He's actually looking to see if you understand what he has already done for you so you can come and rest at his feet knowing that he who has promised is faithful to fulfill every word of it. No need to continue making sandwiches. What are you doing? Jesus doesn't need your sandwiches. I do. The whole idea is to bring the presence of God into the house. And when he's there, rest in the presence. Everybody say, when the presence shows up, rest in the presence. You have to learn. You have to learn this now. You have to grow up, grow out of this religious junk. A lot of people don't understand how the New Testament works. They think the New Testament works by effort. If that's the case, you might as well follow Moses, not Jesus. This is what I'm trying to teach my church here at KICC. Here at KICC, we have an extraordinary presence in our midst, the manifest presence. Everybody say the manifest presence. And what do you need to do when the presence of God is there? Do you need to make sandwiches or do you need to rest? Do we need to have prayer meetings or do we need to rest in it? Good, you're getting the point. It's not about works. It's not about praying harder and begging harder. It's about recognizing the presence and allowing Jesus to do what Jesus does best.